Welcome to the Red Zone.
The Red Zone.
With Soren Petro. An exclusive presentation of KCChiefs.com. For the next 60 minutes, this is your in-depth, inside look at the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, here's your host, Soren Petro.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Red Zone here at KCChiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on a beautiful Wednesday. Time to talk some Chiefs football, which we do each and every week. If you're catching us later on via the podcast or the archives, appreciate whenever you can listen. If you want to be live and in the chat room, 3 o'clock each and every Wednesday is when we're live here on the Red Zone. Thank you to the folks. Got a number of emails from guys overseas defending the nation. Our armed forces, so always a hearty hello to our Chiefs fans that are overseas and defending the country or just flat out overseas and from all over the globe. The Chiefs kingdom certainly starts in Kansas City, but it goes clear across the globe, and always amazed at how far out the Chiefs fans have gotten. But they unite here at the Red Zone, and always good to hear from you here in the Red Zone. Remember, you can email us, redzone@kcchiefs.org. That is redzone@kcchiefs.org. We'll get to a couple of your emails a little bit later on. We will break down the NFL draft coming up here in a minute. Wes Bunting joins us again, Director of College Scouting for NationalFootballPost.com. We're going to break down running backs and middle linebackers. That's coming up next segment. Talk to one of the newest running backs for the Kansas City Chiefs a little bit later on. Thomas Jones will join us. You might be surprised at how high up the rushing charts Thomas Jones has climbed in his career. Over 9,000 yards rushing and now a member of the Kansas City Chiefs. A guy that's played on playoff teams, was in the AFC Championship game last year with the Jets, was in the Super Bowl several years ago with the Chicago Bears. A guy that knows what winning's about and a guy that's in great physical condition. We'll talk about Thomas Jones, talk to Thomas Jones a little bit later on here in the Red Zone and get to your emails as well. Let's talk a little bit of draft, though, right here before we bring in Wes Bunting from NationalFootballPost.com. I hear a lot of people, it seems like, and I'll caution this, I've heard some people say, Chiefs have got to take Eric Berry. If they don't take Eric Berry, I'm done. I quit as a Chiefs fan. They got to take Russell Okung. If they don't take Russell Okung, I quit. I'm done as a Chiefs fan. They have to absolutely do whatever they can to get player A, get player B, get player C. And it's one of the most common things I hear every single year from Chiefs fans. And, of course, we'll have the draft party going on over at Arrowhead next week. You can come down and be a part of the draft party. Just make your plans to be at the Arrowhead practice facility a week from tomorrow. The NFL draft is right on top of us. A great time to come hang out and be a part of the Chiefs draft. Mitch Holthus will be your host. I'll be up on stage along with Kendall Gammon. There'll be Chiefs players. A lot of fun. And this year it moves to prime time for the first round. Chiefs picking fifth in that draft. And always when we do the draft party, I hear people time and time again coming up and saying, well, what do you think about the pick? I really wanted so-and-so. I'm not that happy. And I think it's just human nature that you get your hopes up for one guy, and when that doesn't happen, you lose. Well, think about it. I've had people tell me, Chiefs got to take Russell Okung no matter what. Chiefs got to take Eric Berry, safety at Tennessee, no matter what. Okung, the offensive tackle at Oklahoma State. The Chiefs have got to get another young quarterback for the future. Can't find themselves where they were. No matter what, they got to take a quarterback. The Chiefs have to go get Dez Bryant. They desperately need a wideout. It's got to be Dez Bryant. How can you pass on a guy like Dez Bryant? You know, think about this. Right there, just three players. Russell Okung, Dez Bryant, and Eric Berry. I've heard all three of those guys are must-gets for the Chiefs. And people tell me that if the Chiefs don't get it, they're going to be disappointed. They're going to be frustrated. They're going to be, you know, whatever. You can't win with that kind of mindset. It's impossible to think that way and be happy. I will caution you. If you're listening to the Red Zone, you're probably a hardcore Chiefs fan. Do not set yourself up for either extreme joy. Yeah, great. You got the guy they wanted. That guy might not pan out. Glenn Dorsey was a guy that a lot of people were thrilled that he dropped to the Chiefs, and for good reason. He's a tremendous football player. Now changing schemes and changing systems, he's trying to make his way to a defensive end spot, and things have not necessarily been the way everybody expected. But that was one of the drafts that everybody said, hey, great draft. Now the Chiefs have a new scheme, a new philosophy. People get their hopes up and decide, this is the guy. If you don't take player A, then I'm frustrated. Well, you know, more than likely, that player is not going to get taken. you set yourself up for extreme disappointment. Understand it is a process and that there are lots of different directions a team can go. I'm most surprised at what I hear normally from people, though, and to take it to the next level, is it's an offensive player that I keep hearing everybody say they want the Chiefs to take. Oh, well, it's got to be an offensive tackle. It's got to be a wide receiver. It's got to be, you know, take your pick. But almost always, it's an offensive player that I hear from people. Well, let me give you some numbers to think about here. If you think it's got to be an offensive tackle, if you think it's got to be a wide receiver. Defense would seem to be the order of business. Let's go through the numbers, if people have forgotten what the numbers were for the season. Chiefs on the season were number 25 in offense. And even more important than the number, the ranking, is the yardage. They averaged 303 yards per game on offense. Defensively, they were number 30. They averaged 388 yards per game. Now, that's gives you an idea. Number 30, there are only 32 teams. They're down. They're further. They were worse overall in defense than they were in offense. So, number one, which unit was worse? Well, the defensive unit was. Even though I know people may not like that the first three picks that they took last year were on the defensive side of the ball, or may say, hey, I want some offense. I want some glamour. Reality is that the Kansas City Chiefs need defense more than they need offense. Passing-wise, the Chiefs' defense was number 22 for 232 yards. Passing offense was number 25 for 183 yards a game. And this is where it really steps up. Against the run, the Chiefs' defense was number 31 in the league, giving up 157 yards per game. Offensively, when they ran the ball, they were number 11, running for 121 yards per game. Points allowed, the Chiefs were 29th, giving up 26.5 points a game. Offensively, they were number 23, giving up 18.4 points per game. They were minus 8.1 points per game. The offense was closer to the top than the defense. So when I hear people say it's got to be an offensive lineman, it's got to be a wide receiver, I'll be honest with you, don't be shocked if this is a defense-oriented draft, and don't be shocked if a defensive lineman ends up being the selection again. Don't be surprised if they trade down. I hear this could be a much more active draft, particularly up high, because there is no salary cap. So look for the Chiefs to be listening, fielding offers. We'll see if they're able to get any deals done, but certainly be listening to and possibly fielding an offer for that number five pick. But also keep in mind, so many people to me, I think, are set up wanting to take offense. They don't want to hear a defensive lineman because the Chiefs have taken defensive linemen each of the last 2 years. I've heard some rumbling that perhaps an Ndamukong Suh could be there at five or a Gerald McCoy could be there at five. Look, if that's the best player on the board, the Chiefs need to take him. I'm not going to tell you that Eric Berry is definitely better than Ndamukong Suh or Suh is better than Berry. It's not my job. I don't know. I can tell you they're both really good against college competition. The job of Scott Pioli and his staff is to figure out who's going to be the best football player in the NFL against NFL players. College careers or us watching them, us being the fans, watching a big game by Suh against Texas in the Big 12 championship game, or a huge game by Eric Berry in Tennessee playing against any one of the SEC opponents that he was on TV against, does not mean that he's going to be the best pro. That's the job of the Chiefs front office. It's a difficult job, but it's why they're paid their money, is to get that figured out. Statistically speaking, the offense was better than the defense. The defense would seem to be much more a need situation. In fact, the best defense in the NFL gave up 252 yards. Chiefs gave up 388. Let's call it 250 and 390. They're 140 yards away from what the best in the league was. Offensively, the Chiefs' offense, 303 yards. The best offense, New Orleans Saints, 403. They're 100 yards away. Again, give you an idea. The ranking is better and how far they have to go to get to where the best teams are. They're closer on offense than they are on defense. Keep in mind, in free agency also, Ryan Lilge just signed. Casey Wiegman signed. Chris Chambers re-signed. They've addressed a number of offensive, and Thomas Jones, who we're going to talk to here in a little bit, signed. They've addressed a number of offensive needs already in free agency. Not as many Sean Smith on the defensive side of the ball. The one major signing, they did re-sign Mike Vrabel, but the defensive side of the ball has not gotten as much attention. Don't be shocked if defense is the order of business in this draft. We'll take a break, come back. Wes Bunting from NationalFootballPost.com joins us to talk NFL draft.
Today's show is sponsored in part by Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster. The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels. That a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer. 120, a jet engine. That studies directly link team performance to crowd noise. Finally, they'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster. More ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweep left of the fullback, and a great block springs up to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
He's going to outrace everyone to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. A Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the three most important words ever.
With Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
With the fifth pick, the Kansas City Chiefs select...
We can't tell you yet. You're going to have to find out at the Chiefs NFL Draft Party. The NFL Draft is right around the corner and new for 2010. The draft's first round will be held in prime time Thursday night, April 22nd. The Draft Party takes place at the Chiefs Indoor Practice Facility with the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, hosting the party, giving you an inside look at each player selected along with live draft updates from New York. There'll be a special appearance by Chiefs Chairman Clark Hunt. Come get autographs and pictures of current and former Chiefs players. Get your first peek at the 2010 Chiefs cheerleaders and shake your belly with KC Wool. We'll have food and drinks available, so join us for happy hour Thursday, April 22nd. Get tickets now for the Chiefs Draft Day Party, sponsored by Miller Lite and KC Southern. Chiefs Draft Day tickets start at just $15 for adults and $10 for kids. Get yours now at kcchiefs.com or by calling 800-745-3000. The 2010 Chiefs NFL Draft Party.
It is time for a new era. With new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angling, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Jamal Charles!
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job and we'll win this game! And the Chiefs put the hammer down!
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good! Ryan Suckup wins the game in overtime!
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul. Now. Let's get back into the red zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com. Today's show is sponsored in part by Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster.
Welcome back. You're in the red zone here at kcchiefs.com. Soren Petro with you as we continue to break down the draft position by position. Wes Bunting, our man from nationalfootballpost.com, the director of college scouting there, has done a great job, and time now for the running backs and the middle linebackers. Wes, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Not too bad. Let's start with the running backs and both these spots, running backs, particularly the fullbacks, which we'll touch on a little bit, and middle linebackers are spots that, especially after that first round, you got to think in terms of special teams. These are prime special teams players covering kicks, blocking for kicks. You've got to fill out those squads as well. So when you're evaluating these players, especially after those first couple of rounds, special teams becomes a big part of the equation, does it not?
Oh, absolutely, and you have to be able to do more than one thing to make a roster at the next level if you're a later round pick. Being able to work in short yardage situations, block at the point of attack, over kickoffs, block kicks, block and punts, whatever you can do to make a team is what you have to do in the NFL, and that adds a ton, especially if you can long snap as well, a ton more value to you as a player being drafted late.
All right, let's start with the running back spot and the true running back, the guys that will actually carry the ball. Most people seem to have C.J. Spiller up at the top of that list. I was looking on the site, and your running back list here at NationalFootballPost.com has Javid Best and C.J. Spiller up there, kind of co-number ones, although Best has got the number one designation next to him and Spiller number two. How do you break it down?
Well, I think Best, you look at Best and Spiller, both dynamic open field runners. But where I give the advantage to Best is his vision, his instincts between the tackles, which makes him so unique, so dynamic. Spiller has a tendency to consistently bounce the ball outside, outrun defenders towards the edge. But Best is really patient, instinctive in between the tackles. The short area quickness to make a man miss in a phone booth, accelerate into the open field. Plus, he has the body control and balance make people miss at full speed as well. Just a really dynamic runner, and I think he's the best running back in this year's draft.
How does the injury he had when he went up and over the top of the goal line, if people don't remember, basically crashing down on his head and neck area, an incredibly athletic play right up till the part when he crashed down, but going airborne, how much does that injury maybe grade him down by some people, or that injury maybe hide him from most teams where there's a couple of teams that probably look at it like you and have him clearly the number one guy?
You know, that's what I think it is. It hit him a bit because during the first couple of weeks of the year, you know, we were talking about this guy as the Heisman Trophy winner, the best running back in the draft. And teams then start loading up the box against California, realizing they can't throw the football and they can best run against 8-9-man fronts. He gets banged up. I had a chance to talk with him a couple of weeks ago, and he said, well, if it taught me anything, it taught me I'm not going to leave my feet off the ground anymore. And so I think it just made him a smarter running back. He's going to take better care of himself, a dynamic threat, has that compact build, too, around 5'10", 200 pounds, runs with a natural pad level, so it's tough to really get a good shot on him. You know, considered by most as a little scat back, but he's a little more physical than given credit for.
All right, how about C.J. Spiller? Great straight-line speed. Is it the 40 time that's got him at the top of the list? Because, and maybe we'll talk about this now, I don't know that there's been a position more so than running back that I think the expectations of the fans coming in and maybe a lot of the mock drafts that are out there end up being dead wrong. That's why I love your job at Best up at the top, because I think everywhere you turn you see C.J. Spiller. And generally the running back spot, I mean, I guess going back to Edgerrin James in front of Ricky Williams, nobody had that coming. The Colts were criticized. And, of course, Edgerrin James went on to a Hall of Fame caliber career with the Colts. You know, all the way through numerous different running backs. I even remember Deuce McAllister and Michael Bennett. Michael Bennett was supposed to be the top guy, and Deuce McAllister went ahead of him, surprising some people. This seems to be, whether it's that, you know, they veil it the best as far as who really the top guys are, or if it's just like ice cream, everybody has their own flavor, and you never really know till that team gets on the board. This seems to be the toughest spot to nail down in mock drafts, or you disagree?
No, and I love the favorite flavor of ice cream. That's a great quote. It's like, men, some guys like blonde, some like brunette.
Right.
It's whatever the team wants. And C.J. Spiller brings a unique skill set. A lot of people compare him to Chris Johnson. I mean, lo and behold, there's only one Chris Johnson in the NFL. I don't think you compare any prospect to him. But if I did have to compare him, I think he's more of a Felix Jones-type back. He's better with less carries in between the tackles. You can screen him. You can give him draws inside. You can get him out in the open field, give him 3 to 4 touches a game on special teams. And then at the end of the day, he has 10 to 15 touches. He's dynamic when he has his hands on the football. And he can be an X factor in the pass game as well. That's what I think C.J. Spiller does best. You can move him all around, but if you're asked just in the lower shoulders in between the tackles, that's where I don't think he has that pure out-and-out, every-down type of back mentality.
And, you know, the Chris Johnson comparison, I'm glad you brought that up, because there was a time when the straight-line speed had everybody going first, and there were guys like, you know, Leland McElroy, and I remember A&M had a number of backs. Greg Hill here in Kansas City, who was probably better than Chiefs fans remember, but certainly wasn't a guy that lived up to a first-round draft pick status like he was from the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, those straight-line speed guys are one you still got to make people miss. I mean, I've always said you got to beat a man, and whether you beat him in a phone booth with an unbelievably quick move like Barry Sanders, whether you beat him to the corner and go around him and do it on pure speed, whether you run over a guy, But everyone can run in the NFL. So I think Chris Johnson, you're right, he's the one guy. Anyone thinking just a great 40 time means you're going to be Chris Johnson, did not see him run through all the arm tackles and keep the balance going to where then he could turn that speed on. And, you know, you've got to get through those first 15 yards of traffic before you can have the last 60 yards of just foot race. And that's where I worry. I did not see enough of C.J. Spoh to say he is or isn't the next Chris Johnson, or is or isn't good. But I worry when the top 40 times just start rising that people are forgetting you got to get through all that traffic before you can showcase that 40 time.
Absolutely. And the first thing I look for any running back is, does he have the ability to make a man miss behind the line of scrimmage? Because so often in college, run plays are blocked off perfectly, and guys like Darren McFadden, like C.J. Spiller, can use that elite straight line speed just to outpace people to the edge and run to daylight. But in the NFL, you have to be able to make people miss. With all the blitzes that come in, people come off free, defenders come off free. You have to be able to break down, make a man miss, and then create after contact. And that's why I worry about some of these more linear guys, guys like Ryan Matthews. That's why Donald Brown from last year, Connecticut, didn't have the exceptional year many people thought he would, because he's such a linear runner. He's good as in straight line, but when he's asked to break down, he struggles a bit. So that's one of the key attributes I look for at a running back, and why sometimes these linear athletes get tagged as elite prospects because they're elite 40 time, but they're not able to use it because they can't make people miss and run into daylight.
All right, who are the next few runners on your list?
Well, I think Jonathan Dwyer is number three. This guy reminds me a lot of a Sean Green type guy. I think he's only going to get better getting out of that triple option offense. He's going to be able to line up 8 yards behind the line of scrimmage. You put a fullback in front of him. He's instinctive between the tackles, can run with power, has a little giddy up at the second level. I think he's a really dynamic back. And the other one to keep an eye on is Anthony Dixon from Mississippi State. If there's any running back in the country that made more people miss behind the line, it's Anthony Dixon at a very, very poor Mississippi State offensive line. This guy was productive against the Alabamas, the Floridas, the Auburns of the world, almost 1,500 yards rushing in the ACC. Reminds me a lot of Michael Bush. Big, physical, really shifty for his size. I think he has the ability to start in the NFL pretty early in his career.
All right, let's go over a couple other names that I think people will be curious about. Toby Gerhart in the finalists for the Heisman Trophy. Some people questioning, is he a running back? Is he a fullback? What do you think his future is in the NFL?
No, I think this is a tough in-between-the-tackles running back. He's not going to make a ton of people miss, but he has enough body control and balance to sidestep would-be tacklers and then run through arm tackles. He has pretty good instincts for a guy his size, runs with exceptional power, reminds me a bit of his running style of a guy like Marshawn Lynch in Buffalo, except you're not going to have to put up with any of the character concerns you have with Lynch. I think he's a solid number two running back that in some cases you could use him as a starter. Not dynamic enough to be an every-down starter, but I think at worst-case scenario, he's your short yardage back. You can use him in goal line situations, and he's going to be tough to stop behind the line of scrimmage.
All right, LeGarrette Blount became more famous for a punch than his running, but a name that everybody knows. Where do you think a guy like LeGarrette Blount should go if he didn't have all the off-the-field problems, and where do you think he does end up going?
I think he goes sometimes in that fourth, fifth-round range. I think his talent's about suitable there. He's not a guy that's going to run by anyone, but there couldn't have been a worse offense tailored for his game than a one at Oregon. The spread and making him run from the gun. This is a guy, you put a fullback in front of him and let him run downhill like he did at the Senior Bowl. Pretty good short area quickness, generates a lot of power, breaks tackles. I think he's just like Toby Gerhart. Has some starting upside, has the ability to be a low-end starter, but you like him more as your number two back. Wear down opposing front sevenses and bring in the scat back. Let him break off the long run.
All right. You know, we've seen good backs come out of later rounds, from Rudy Johnson in the third or fourth to, you know, Ahmad Bradshaw with the Giants coming out of the seventh round. Derek Ward, I think, was the seventh round originally with the Jets. Last year, third round Green for the Jets. Going in the third round, why is it that this position so often seems to sprout some of its best players from middle and even late round picks?
Well, we look so much at physical attributes come draft time. We look at guys 40 times, their bench press numbers, their vertical leap. But the running back position, you either wake up and you have it or you don't. It's the instincts, the vision, the feel in between the tackles, the ability to make a man miss and explode in a phone booth. it doesn't matter how fast you are as a 40 time. You know, you can't measure that short area explosion and quickness of the running back position and the feel that they have in between the tackles and tight areas. And that's why guys like Mike Anderson can be so exceptional in a certain scheme, like in Denver, despite the 4.7 40 time that he ran at the combine.
All right, let's talk about the fullback position, generally a mid to late round spot. Is anybody jump out at you as a premier fullback, a prospect this year?
Well, I think there's two potential starters, Rashawn Jackson from Virginia and John Connor from Kentucky, both ideal inline blockers, pretty good athletes for the position, can catch the football. But the one guy that really has me intrigued is Jamison Kanz from Kent State. This is a guy who started out as a linebacker, moved to the H-back position, back to wide receiver, to tight end, but he's an exceptional athlete. Had a 46-inch vertical, has run in the sub-4.4 range at 6'4", 236 pounds. Now, you can use him as an H-back, you can use him as a fullback, but this guy has the ability to create mismatches in the pass game. Could be the first fullback off the board in that fourth, fifth round range come draft time.
How much is the fullback being eliminated from NFL teams' personnel sets?
Well, it's becoming less and less, and so many times the NFL passing game is all about mismatches, being able to get guys out in the flat, run away from linebackers, and that's what you want to see a lot of times from your fullbacks, especially in the pass game. And, you know, there's always going to be a role for a guy who can create movement as an inline blocker that can pick up the blitz. But more and more, with offensive coordinators trying to schematically figure out opposing defenses, that's why the fullback position is becoming less and less irrelevant, especially on third down.
We're talking right now with Wes Bunting, Director of College Scouting for NationalFootballPost.com, breaking down running backs and now inside linebackers. Whether you're a middle linebacker in a 4-3 or an inside linebacker in a 3-4, as far as what teams want in linebackers, this spot, am I correct, it translates the most between the two defenses? In other words, a Mike linebacker in a 4-3 ought to be able to translate fairly easily to a middle linebacker spot in a 3-4, or is that oversimplifying it?
Well, it might be oversimplifying it a bit. You want some bigger guys in the 3-4 because you know consistently offensive linemen are going to come out to the second level and reach them, being able to stack and shed. Sometimes you can get away with smaller inside linebackers in a 4-3 if you protect them with big guys like Teddy Washington and Keith Traylor, letting them run sideline to sideline. But for the most part, being able to stack and shed and find the football quickly is ideal for the middle linebacker position.
All right, Rolando McClain from Alabama has been the top guy. It seemed like early on he was rising, maybe even up towards the top five. I know some people had the Chiefs interested in him at one point. Lately, I hear people saying he's being picked apart on film, and maybe he's not the star prospect that people thought he was immediately following the college football season. Where do you sit on McClain, and is he your top middle linebacker?
Yeah, he's my top little middle linebacker, and he's a lot better than he's being made out to be right now. A lot of people are going back, nitpicking with him. He's a big guy, doesn't have elite straight-line speed. However, he's so instinctive, finds the football so quickly. He's always around the play. Being able to run down SEC running backs is no easy task for any middle linebacker, let alone a guy at 6'5", 260 pounds. He's been able to do that because of his elite instincts, ability to quickly read and react. He can shed blocks inside, take on people at the point of attack. He's by far and away the best inside linebacker in the draft.
There is the potential, I like to call it paralysis by analysis, not that I coined the term. It's been around for a long time. But, you know, when the football season's over, there's no more new game tape to look. So you just keep looking and looking and looking and looking. And it's amazing. You know, I think we've talked about this before. If you held the draft on February 10th, it'd look one way. March 10th, it'd look another. April, so on and so forth. Every month, guys would move up or down, even though they haven't played a single football game. Even after their workouts are done, they seem to move up or down. What is it about Rolando McClain? Is it just the speed? Is it the 40 time? They're knocking him down because all through the college season and immediately following the year, people were very high on him, and now I hear people starting to knock him.
Yeah, and last year he was the top overall prospect of his class, the junior class or the sophomore class at the time. But with some questions coming out with the Crohn's disease that he has, you know, is he going to be a long-time liability possibly? No, he's had it for a while, and he's going to be fine. That's not a concern to me personally. Obviously, I'm not a doctor. I don't have the background check on him. But, I mean, that's one thing to knock him down, the lack of ideal 40 time. But anything under 4.8 for a guy that's 6'5", 260 pounds is a pretty good time. Him running in the 4.68 range, that's a heck of a time for a guy his size. I just think it's being completely blown out of proportions, plus his instinct, size, physicality. I think he's an instant impact NFL starter at the next level.
He certainly has the size to be the middle linebacker in the 3-4, and like you said, take on those linemen at the second level. How about Brandon Spikes from Florida, which most people have as the number 2 middle linebacker?
Well, this is a talented guy that can play downhill. He can find the football. The biggest concern with him is his straight line speed. Does he have the ability to run sideline to sideline and track NFL caliber running backs and make plays away from his frame? Running that 5-second 40 time at the Florida Pro Day. Sure, we try not to talk about 40 times as the end all in scouting, but since 2000, there hasn't been a middle linebacker to run over 5 seconds to be drafted whatsoever. So the idea that Brandon Spikes is a second, third-round prospect, I don't think that's true anymore. I think he's more of a fourth, fifth, sixth-round guy that has the ability to play on first and second down, but he's not going to be able to play versus the pass. Lacks the range, lacks the fluidity, simply doesn't have the speed to keep up with some of the faster backs in the NFL.
Well, there's great talent at Florida and other schools that are, you know, the perennial national title contenders. He appears to be one of those guys that looks a lot better because he's playing with stars all around him.
Yeah, he has people to make plays from him sideline to sideline. Dustin Doe, Ryan Stampler. These guys can run and find the football. Brandon Spikes asked to play in a limited phone booth, consistently attacking downhill. Maybe, you know, made his productivity look a little more impressive than it actually was.
Who are the other inside linebackers that you like as far as the 3-4 scheme goes?
Well, Sean Lee, I think he's a talented guy because of his instincts and ability to find the football. Consistently is reading, reacting before most linebackers even get a chance to find the football, always swarming downhill. I think he would be the next guy in line. Jamar Chaney, a sideline-to-sideline guy from Mississippi State, was banged up a bit and wasn't as productive as a senior because he was still nursing a leg injury. He finally looks healthy now. He has the ability to find the football on all angles of the field.
All right, we're talking right now with Wes Bunting, National Scouting Director for NationalFootballPost.com. It is time for our Final Four, Wes. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right, let's start off with, have you watched Ocho Cinco in Dancing with the Stars?
Yes, I have. I watched him last night for the first time.
Oh, really? Okay, good. So you like his skill set, seems to translate as well to the dancing pretty good?
Yeah, he's a pretty good athlete. He's got some moves. I'll give him that.
All right, very good. What's the highest pick that gets traded in this year's draft? Are you hearing anything as far as the fifth pick, the Chiefs pick, the second, the third, the fourth? Anyone that you hear that you think is probably going to end up getting dealt?
I think possibly Jacksonville at 10 could move back a bit if the guys that they want aren't there. Possibly if Tim Tebow goes before them, I could see them moving now.
Wow, okay. But you think Tebow could go before number 10?
I think possibly at 9.
Wow, okay. How many career touchdowns for Sam Bradford? Are we looking at a Hall of Fame type number?
No, I think we're looking at a solid NFL career. A couple Pro Bowls thrown in, but we're not talking Hall of Fame by any stretch. He's a solid NFL player, and he'll give his team a chance to win week in and week out.
All right, I'll put you down, what, maybe a couple hundred?
Yeah, a couple hundred's good.
All right. And finally, what's your top 5 mock draft look like right now so we can see where what's going in front of the Chiefs and then where you've got them going?
Well, we have Sam Bradford going 1 to the St. Louis Rams, and Dominique Suh going number 2 to the Detroit Lions. Gerald McCoy, number 3 to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. 4 is Russell Okung going to the much-needed Washington Redskins, or the left tackle-starved Washington Redskins. And then the Kansas City Chiefs at 5, they take the last blue chipper still on the board, and Eric Berry has the ability to come in, make an instant impact. You lost all those games. You might as well take the best prospect still on the board.
Very good. Wes, great stuff as always. We appreciate it, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Thanks a lot for having me.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels. That a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer. 120, a jet engine. That studies directly link team performance to crowd noise. Finally, they'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster. More ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
Welcome to Chiefs Country, where fans like you wear their passion for their team like war paint. It's for you, Chiefs fans, that we created Chiefs Checking with the official Chiefs debit card and discounts on Chiefs gear all year long.
Visit Metcalf Bank or ChiefsChecking.com and for a limited time, sign up and score a Chiefs game day cooler.
Chiefs Checking, because you're not just a fan on Sunday.
Only at Metcalf Bank. Strong roots, endless possibilities. Member Central Bank Company, member FDIC. See bank for details.
Hey, Chiefs fans, I'm Josh Looney of KCChiefs.com.
And I am the Internet. I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365 and much more.
I'm so excited. I can barely contain myself.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at KCChiefs.com.
Are you looking for that perfect gift? Maybe it's a birthday, a holiday, or just looking for something special for that extra special Chiefs fan in your life? Well, we have it. The 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar is now available at kcchiefs.com. This 16-month calendar features the entire Chiefs Cheerleader Squad in swimsuits shot in Red Hot Jamaica. Get your hands on the 16-month 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar online at the Chiefs Pro Shop at kcchiefs.com.
It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angling, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job, and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good! Ryan Suckup wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul. Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
All right, welcome back here in the Red Zone here at kcchiefs.com. Thanks to Wes Bunting breaking down the NFL draft. We'll wrap up our positional breakdowns next week. We'll get tight ends and outside linebackers along with the kicking game with Wes Bunting doing a great job breaking down the draft for us. Of course, draft party coming up on Thursday, April 22nd. That's a week from tomorrow as we are live here on a Wednesday at 3 o'clock. Doors will open at 4 o'clock at the Chiefs practice facility. Get the event going at 4:30. It'll end about 1 hour after the Chiefs pick. Love for you to come on down there and be a part of it. Tickets are $15 for general admission. In advance, if you buy them now, they're $18 at the door. And got VIP seating as well, $25 reserve seating, $10 for kids 12 and under. Kids 2 and under are free. You can get your tickets right here at kcchiefs.com or by calling 1-800-745-3000. That's 1-800-745-3000. Or go to all Ticketmaster outlets or the Arrowhead Stadium box office, and we'll get you in to the big party hosted by Mitch Holtis. Does a great job taking you through. We'll keep you up to date with everything going on in the NFL draft as well as what it means for the Kansas City Chiefs. So if you're a draft Nick and a Chiefs fan, it will be the spot you'll want to be in to hang out with the Chiefs gurus, the Chiefs dignitaries here for the NFL draft. An email, Steve, very good one. And remember, you can email us, redzone at kcchiefs.org. That is redzone at kcchiefs.org. Steve wants to know, how do you split the carries between Jamal Charles and Thomas Jones? We'll talk to Thomas Jones in a minute. He's been a part of some very good running back tandems. Partnered up with Cedric Benson in Chicago, Sean Green last year with the New York Jets. Thomas Jones has been very impressive and over 1,400 yards in a career high 1,400 plus yards and 14 touchdowns last year for Thomas Jones. He was very productive. And how was he productive? Well, there was somebody to keep him fresh. And what is the ultimate split of carries end up being? I'm not sure, but I think what you figure is Jamal Charles earned the number one job. He'll have the number one job going into camp. although Thomas Jones is a tremendous running back in his own right. There'll be a great competition at Chiefs training camp this year up in St. Joe. So one of the things you'll want to watch if you're going to come out and check out Chiefs training camp this year. But I think you're looking for about a 2-to-1 carry ratio, and that is two for whoever the starter ends up being. Right now we'll call that Jamaal Charles going in with his incredible performance over the last half of the year and especially against the Denver Broncos. You know, whether it's 2 series to 1 series, whether it's a long run, I mean, I think you go in with the mindset that you're going to give the backup runner a series. You know, his trip up and down the field, or at least, you know, we're going to give him 6 straight carries on the 3rd series and see where he goes from there. I think the other thing is if you get a big run, a run with numerous cutbacks and fighting through tackles, not necessarily how many yards a guy goes, but a really exertion-based run, a run where Jamaal Charles or even Thomas Jones has to put out a ton of energy, at that point you want to take him off the field and get the other guy in there. That's how you keep guys healthy. Injuries occur when guys are tired. More often than not, yeah, there are some kill shots that just happen whether a guy's healthy or not. But most injuries, and a lot of leg injuries, happen when guys are tired, when they can't give their full strength, when they can't explode into the tackler and offset the force that's coming at them with the own force that they're delivering on somebody else. When you begin to absorb blows, that's when you get hurt. So I think the key is it's going to be game management. It's going to be watching the guys. You go in with a plan. Your number one guy is probably going to get 2 out of 3 carries. That's your rule of thumb. You probably go the first couple of series with your number one guy, maybe series 3 or 4, depending upon how he's looking. The backup runner is going to come in. And then anytime he comes through, whether he takes a hit, gets up a little slow, or just has a run that really wears him out, then you want to get that backup back in there. Always fresh legs. And I think when you do that, you get the best of the starter and you get the best of the backup. The actual guy carrying the ball ends up being better than when you grind out one guy. Jamaal Charles showed great toughness and great endurance last year. You don't want to force him to have to do that. They don't have to now. That's the beauty of having Thomas Jones on this football team. Steve, appreciate the email. Remember, you can email us redzone@kcchiefs.org. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Thomas Jones is going to join us as he is heading out of the practice facility. Thomas Jones next here in the Red Zone.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on kcchiefs.com.
It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angle, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamaal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good! Ryan Suckup wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul.
With the 5th pick, the Kansas City Chiefs select...
Find out at the Chiefs Draft Day Party. The NFL Draft is right around the corner with the first round being held in primetime Thursday night, April 22nd. Join us at the Chiefs Indoor Practice Facility with the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, hosting the party. There'll be a special appearance by Chiefs Chairman Clark Hunt. Get autographs and pictures with current and former Chiefs players, Chiefs cheerleaders, and KC Wolf. Chiefs Draft Day tickets start at just $15. Get them now at kcchiefs.com.
Every Sunday, a city of more than 2 million unites. A community of fans thousands strong anticipates. A team of 53 players charges the field.
It's a sweet punt to the fullback. And a great block springs him to the outside. He's up the left sideline.
And one grocery store is proud to support them all.
20. He's going to outrace everyone to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City!
Ivy, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs. A Kansas City Chiefs fan, they'll tailgate just about anywhere. And they live to hear the 3 most important words ever.
Tailgate Kansas City!
With Hy-Vee's weekly tailgate specials, you'll find everything you need for your next Chiefs tailgate or Chiefs party. Stop into Hy-Vee and stock up with new tailgate specials every week.
Hy-Vee, an official sponsor of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Real sports fans can tell you all about decibels. That a crowd yelling at 105 decibels is like a jackhammer. 120, a jet engine. That studies directly link team performance to crowd noise. Finally, they'll tell you to go to Ticketmaster, with more ways to get you into the game, including buying and selling seats from season ticket holders and other fans. Because for your voice to be heard, you have to be there. Ticketmaster. More ways in.
Buy and sell Chiefs tickets with Chiefs Ticket Exchange by Ticketmaster at kcchiefs.com.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
Welcome back. You're in the Red Zone here at kcchiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on a Wednesday. Remember, that's when we're live. You can be a part of the chat room. Get your questions, thoughts, comments out there each and every Wednesday, but always appreciate you listening, whether it's in the archives or on the podcast. Going to talk right now to one of the newest members of the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs running back Thomas Jones is with us. Thomas, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
You know what? Quite a pleasure to talk to you, being that I have tried to get you into a Chiefs uniform going back to when you left Arizona. I've been watching you run for a couple of teams saying, hey, this guy would be a perfect fit for the Kansas City Chiefs. And now you're a Chief. I've been a big fan of your work. I'm certainly happy to see you here in red and gold. What finally made it all work? Why is Kansas City the right spot for you?
You know what? I just think, you know, this is a team that definitely on the verge of becoming a good team, and you know, they, you know, made a commitment to winning, you know, with the coaches that they have here, you know, some of the off-season moves that they're making. And, you know, they had a tough season last year, but I think, you know, when you go through a situation like that, it makes you tough as a football team. And the energy that I felt, you know, when I came on my visit was exactly, you know, what I felt when I went to a couple other teams. Chicago and the Jets. You know, I mean, when I got to Chicago, you know, we were 5-11. Ended up going to the Super Bowl and the playoffs the next 2 years. And you know, the Jets, you know, we were 4-12 the first year there. And the next 2 years, you know, we ended up 9-7 and then going to the AFC Championship game. So, I mean, I just felt the energy, you know, in the building and then just being around the players now. You know, seeing how they work and seeing that dedication. You know, I just think that's a great fit for me.
You mentioned adversity making you tougher. Let's talk about the beginning of your career. You were very highly thought of. I remember coming out of Virginia, I thought you got kind of slighted as far as Heisman votes go. You had an incredible career in college. You came out to Arizona, battled some injuries. Arizona at that time was not the Cardinals of today. It was a franchise that had been mired towards the bottom for a lot of years, and it never did seem to click. Did more so your final year there, but it wasn't until you got out of there and got moving on to Tampa and then Chicago that your career really took off. Were those years that you had early on in your career, were they a part of building you into the back you ultimately ended up being?
Yeah, definitely. You know, my first couple years, you know, it was tough for me, but I wouldn't have it any other way, you know, just because I learned so much, you know, as far as being a football player in the first, you know, coming in that high in the draft, you know, seventh pick in the draft, there's a lot of expected of you. And sometimes when you don't live up to those expectations early, you know, people label you or they get down on you, you know, and sometimes it's even harder, you know, to dig yourself out. You really have to test yourself and see how much you love the game, and that's something that I had to do. You know, I just left there, and you know, I'm extremely prideful person when it comes to football because it's something I've done for a long time and it's something I love, and you know, I take a lot of pride in working hard and trying to be the best I can. And you know, I was able to leave there, go to Tampa, you know, be around some great players there, some great coaches there, and then move on to Chicago and then New York. And you know, my thing has just been work ethic. You know, my work ethic, and you know, just my belief, you know, in God, and you know, just the faith that, you know, hard work will pay off. But that's what's got me to this point.
Thomas Jones is with us, coming off five straight 1,000-yard seasons, over 9,000 yards rushing in his career. How important is it for a back, you know, whatever your skill set may be, whatever type of back you are, to fit in with the right blocking scheme, you know, maybe the right approach to how you want to run the ball? Or does it not really matter? Do people make too much out of, you know, a back in a certain kind of blocking scheme?
You know, I mean, I think some backs, you know, are better in certain systems, you know, I played in pretty much every system you could play in. So, you know, for me, you know, I've just learned how to adjust. You know, I've learned how to adjust to whatever the situation may be or whatever the play, however the plays are called or, you know, whatever the schemes are. You know, I just to adjust to it. You know, football is football at the end of the day. You know, it's running, blocking, tackling. You know, it's fundamental football. And, you know, whether it's Pop Warner or the NFL, you know, those things will never change. So, you know, for me, you know, I've been able to adapt and adjust. Just because, you know, I've had a lot of change in my career, you know, so it was either adjust to it or be out of the league, you know. I really didn't have a choice. But it's helped me because, you know, now I understand so much more about the game and, you know, not just going out there and physically being able to play, but, you know, mentally, you know, knowing the defenses and being able to read coverages and understanding, you know, a lot of the concepts of the game, which makes you a better player overall.
What about getting the ball at the goal line? Your touchdowns went up, you know, all the fantasy geeks like myself. We certainly know what all your stats are. And the touchdowns, 14 last year, 13 the year before. It's always amazed me how coaches fall into this trap that somehow you got to find some 250-pound guy to plow in from the one-yard line, even though on third and one in the middle of the field, a great athlete, a true halfback, for lack of a better term, will make plays like that all the time and maybe even get 7, 8, 10, 15 yards. But somehow you get to the goal line, and, oh, we want to take away all the athleticism. Did something change in New York and you personally, or did somebody just start giving you the ball around the goal line?
You know what? I mean, I think being able to run – in the goal line situation, short yardage is—it's all mindset. You know, it's how you approach it. You know, a lot of people, you know, they take it for granted. You know, and you know, I don't do that. You know, when I'm watching film during the week, you know, I watch, you know, short yardage and goal line situations, you know, from the defense and see what's worked, see what hasn't worked. And you know, I try to base how I approach it off of that. You know, I mean, a lot of teams, and I know my brother was in Dallas, and you know, he would run the ball, he'd get to the 1 yard line, and then he'd have to come out of the game and they put the other back in to let him score, you know, and it's painful to watch. You know, the running back, you know, if it's your drive and it's you the guy that's running it in and you know, taking it down the field, you know, I mean, that's your reward, you know, being able to at least, you know, have an opportunity to cross the goal line. So, you know, for me, you know, it's a mindset. You know, once you get short yardage, you know it's going to be a tough situation. My old running back coach, Jimmy Ray, used to say it's going to be loud. And you just have to physically, you know, be able to, you know, get the yard where you have to go over the top or burrow low or run somebody over. I mean, it's just a mindset.
Jimmy Ray, a guy we know very well here in Kansas City, spent a number of years here in Kansas City. You mentioned your brother, Julius Jones, if people don't know. I think the name, they would recognize it, but maybe didn't connect the dots. Jones, a somewhat common name, but running back now with the Seattle Seahawks. How much do you guys compare notes on defenses or how much do you guys help each other out getting ready for whether it's the season or week by week?
We talk two or three times a week, you know, and especially if they play the team that we're about to play or vice versa. You know, he'd be the first one to call me and say, hey, watch out for this guy. He likes to take your leg down. Watch out for this guy. He likes to bull rush. I mean, we've been doing that for the, you know, past couple of years, you know, just helping each other out. And, you know, it's special, you know, to have your brother in the NFL and both play the same position because you go through the exact same situations and you understand each other to a T. So, you know, that's been a blessing for both of us.
You mentioned the bull rushing, obviously pass protection, the part of the running back that I think people forget. How important is it in today's game where so many teams want to put the ball in the air to make sure you're a complete all-around running back, and that includes being able to block and pass protection?
You know, pass protection is important because, you know, if you get the quarterback hit, you get the quarterback hurt, you know, you're jeopardizing, you know, the whole team. So, you know, pass protection, you know, it's one of those things, a mindset as well, you know. Not easy to run the ball, but that's what a lot of guys instinctively are able to do. They're able to go out there and get the ball, see the whole run, you know, and make plays. But pass protection, you know, and short yard and goal line situations, you know, that's more of the conceptual side of the NFL that a lot of people don't really understand. You know, they think that a lot of people, you know, who don't really understand the game think that it's not important, or they think that, you know, it's still football. But it's not really football, you know. It's more of a mental thing. You have to be able to read defenses. You have to be able to read coverages because they give clues as far as what you're going to see, and that way you're prepared. You're not caught off guard. You know, a lot of guys struggle in pass protection because they don't know what's coming and they get hit from either one side or the other and they didn't see it coming. If you know what's coming, then you're in a better situation to prepare yourself, to brace yourself for the block, you know, brace yourself, you know, for any kind of situation. If another guy comes for you that's not even your guy, you're there to help him out. You know, so that's all just want to and you know, spending time in the film film sessions, watching film, and making sure you're ready to go.
I definitely agree. There's a lot of mental side of it, but it can be also maybe the most punishing part of being a running back because you don't get to deliver the blow. You don't get to always, although you can, you know, in the last, I don't know, maybe half step of the defender explode back into him once you've pinpointed where he's coming from. But you can take a lot of punishment in that. We know the running, just carrying the ball, you take a lot of punishment. Guys your size, not that you're walking down the street a small guy, but by NFL standards at, 215 pounds and about 5'10", you're not a big guy. How have you been able to last this long in the NFL when most guys would be talking about, the average career of a runner is only about 4 years?
No way. It's about toughness. The NFL is about toughness. You can't play in the league and not be a tough guy, especially running back. And as a back, you can deliver the blow. That's a misconception as well. I have leverage. You know, when you're 5'10", 5'10 guy, and you got a 6'4 linebacker coming in, if he's running high, I'm already lower than him. And if I use my hips and accelerate, you know, I could put him on the back of his helmet. You know, just like he could bull rush me on the back of my helmet. It's all about who has leverage and who's lower. And, you know, I've seen Leon Washington, you know, and he's, 5'7", 5'8". I mean, I've seen him destroy defensive linemen because, you know, they weren't expecting him. It's kind of like if you're walking down the street and you get hit by a go-kart, you know. I mean, it's kind of like that type of situation. You don't even see it coming. You can't embrace yourself. So, for me, it's just about toughness. I like to stay in the weight room and make sure I'm as strong as I can be. I stay in the cold tub and keep my legs fresh. If I have an injury or anything like that, I jump on it quick, you know, to get the inflammation down so I'm able to go on Sunday. It's just about a routine, you know, and I've been around the league for a long time to understand how to do that, and I've been blessed and I have any injuries that have kept me out for any significant amount of time.
All right, there's no doubt you spend time in the weight room, but are the biceps a product of just good genes, or is it all weight room work?
me and my father and my brother, we're the exact same build, identical. If you put all three of us beside each other, a lot of people get us confused, which we're triplets. It's funny, because a lot of people think I'm at home, and, you know, I'm somewhere else, and they'll think my father is me. You know, people think I'm my brother. I mean, happens to us all the time. You know, we're all built the exact same way, kind of, compact. I do a lot of arms and biceps, triceps, and forearms just because, you want to be able to hold on to the ball.
Right.
A lot of times, when guys are pulling on it, if you have the extra strength in your forearms and your biceps, you can squeeze the ball, and it makes it harder for it to come out.
Thomas, you talked about getting to the Bears and when things turned, and obviously you had a Super Bowl season there. Didn't get the win against the Colts, but that team, I think it was 13-3, just had a great season and a great run and all the way onto the doorstep of winning a championship. Because this team is trying to make that kind of turn, did you know when, or I guess I should ask, when did you know that it was going to be that type of season with the Bears?
You know what? Just the way we practice, and the way we worked in the offseason. And training camp, we had a really good training camp. You know, it was a nice mixture of guys going hard, being pretty aggressive against each other, and then, sometimes, really, being really passive against each other to protect each other to get ready for the season. I just think that, for us, we were able to sneak up on a lot of people the year before, with Kyle Orton, a rookie quarterback, and we just used that confidence, going into the next season. And they played really well at the end of the season. And I think that they're still riding off of the way they played, and they've taken their attitude into this offseason program because, guys are working really hard up here, and I was impressed, when I came up here and started working out, just to see the dedication of the guys and the guys doing all the extra work. I mean, the guys up here want to win. This is a great place to play football. The fans are loyal fans. Tony Richardson, I played with him, in New York, and he still has a place out here. All he talks about is, Kansas City. And, I think this is one of those special places that, if you come in and you win, a lot of good things can happen for you. And this is definitely kind of situation that I love to be in.
T. Rich, great guy, and certainly has always spoken very highly of the Chiefs organization, even after leaving, and just a quality guy. We're talking to Thomas Jones. He's in the Red Zone here at KCChiefs.com. Thomas, before I let you go, my final four, these are just four quickies. You tell me the first thing that pops in your head, and I'll start with, who's best running back ever to come out of Virginia?
I have to go with Barry Word.
Oh, really? Wow. The former, until the last game of last year, he still held the Chiefs single-game rushing record. He was a tremendous back for several years here in Kansas City.
Yeah. You have to know your history, Virginia history. You know, I knew who was there before me.
So. Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, he was a great back here in Kansas City. I love that. All right. Yeah. You certainly could have said yourself and gotten away with it.
That is not my personality at all. I'm not like that. I just don't like talking about myself regardless of what the situation is. You know, it's just not me.
Okay. Okay. Hey, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Been some good ones. Barry Word, Tiki Barber, Thomas Jones. Good backs coming out of Virginia. All right. You were in the 2000 draft. You went number 7. See if you remember what was going on in your draft class. Do you know who went 21 of the Chiefs that year?
Sylvester Morris.
Now, how did you remember that?
Because we worked out together at the Boletari in Miami, and that's one of my really good friends. Cat, we worked out, had so much fun down there, and we had a great time down there at the Boletari. We were both signed with IMG,
okay,
CAA now, but yeah, Sylvester Morris.
That is awesome. Slimo, as we knew him, unfortunately had a knee injury, had a very good rookie year, and then blew up his knee pretty bad, and his career never got going again after that. But yeah, all right, very good. Okay, let's try this one out on you. Do you know where you rank all time on the NFL rushing list?
28?
You're in the ballpark, 29th.
29th.
And next up on the list, Earl Campbell.
Earl Campbell, I think he has 9,400, something like that.
Right? Yes, and you're at 9,200. You're right in the ballpark, yeah. I mean, he's one of the great backs of all time.
I'm a stat guy, so.
Yeah, well.
I have maybe 100 highlight tapes, not just me and my brother, but of other running backs, other players. I mean, I'm on planes flying back and forth, from either L.A. to Miami or wherever I'm going. You know, people are looking over my shoulder, the highlights, I have so many different highlight tapes. I just love watching film. I'm definitely a stat guy.
Yeah, you are, and you know your football, that's for sure. All right, finally, just tell me, what's the toughest hit you ever took?
The toughest hit?
Yep.
Ever?
Yeah. Any time. Could be any level.
In college, the first day of full pads, someone who I ended up being best friends with, Anthony Poindexter, safety.
Yep.
All I heard about was Anthony Poindexter. He was the nicest guy in the locker room. He said, "Hey, T. Jones, if you need anything, man, let me know. You need to ride to class. If you need anything, let me know." First day of full pads, he comes and destroys me. I mean, gives me a concussion. So, that's the hardest hit. And that happened in 1996. I will never forget that. I mean, every time somebody mentions Dex's name, I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, very good, very good. But clearly didn't hit you hard enough that you don't remember, so that was good,
You know, that hit made me think, hey, look, if I can take a hit like this, I can play against anybody.
Yeah.
So that was the hardest hit I ever took.
Well, hey, we really appreciate the time, Thomas. Thanks so much. Welcome to Kansas City. We can't wait to see you out on the field for the Chiefs, and hopefully we'll get a chance to talk to you on down the road.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for having me.
The Red Zone with Soren Petro will be right back here on KCChiefs.com.
It is time for a new era with new vision and new hope. This is the 2010 Kansas City Chiefs, a team on the rise with the opening of the new and improved Arrowhead Stadium. It's got a new body, but still has the same soul. A team with electrifying young talent.
Charles on his feet, left side angle, cutback, 15, 10, 5, touchdown, Jamal Charles.
A team focused, disciplined, and determined under the direction of head coach Todd Haley.
Just do your job and we'll win this game. And the Chiefs put the hammer down.
Now is the perfect time to be part of the energy and excitement of one of the best atmospheres in the NFL.
And this kick is good. Ryan Suckup wins the game in overtime.
The party starts this August. Lock down your season tickets now by going to kcchiefs.com. Experience the new Arrowhead Stadium. New body, same soul.
In today's hectic world, it's hard enough to find time to manage all your commitments and still find time to pursue a higher education. But at Columbia College, we make it easier. Classes are just 8 weeks long, and you can earn your associate, bachelor's, or master's degree on campus, online, or both. Apply now to Columbia College in Kansas City at www.ccis.edu/about-time. That's www.ccis.edu/about-time.
Hey, Chiefs fans. I'm Josh Looney of KCChiefs.com.
And I am the Internet. Great to be here, Josh.
We're here to tell you about all the new and exciting things going on at KCChiefs.com.
I usually don't endorse websites, but KCChiefs.com is legit.
I know. At KCChiefs.com, you can check out my daily blog, exclusive video content, see what's going on with the team, learn about the Chiefs cheerleaders, and much more.
Yeah, buddy.
That's not all. You can also interact with other fans in Chiefs 365. Chiefs 365 is the place for Chiefs fans to interact, give feedback, and be connected with everything Chiefs.
Fan feedback? That is awesome. But Josh, I really want to buy a jersey.
At KCChiefs.com, you can do that too. The Chiefs Pro Shop is the best place on the web. Buy all of your favorite Chiefs gear, gifts, and much more.
Whoa, system overload.
You want the Chiefs? Go to the Chiefs at KCChiefs.com.
Are you looking for that perfect gift? Maybe it's a birthday, a holiday, or just looking for something special for that extra special Chiefs fan in your life? Well, we have it. The 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar is now available at KCChiefs.com. This 16-month calendar features the entire Chiefs cheerleader squad in swimsuits shot in Red Hot Jamaica. Get your hands on the 16-month 2010 Chiefs Cheerleader Swimsuit Calendar online at the Chiefs Pro Shop at kcchiefs.com.
Now, let's get back into the Red Zone with Soren Petro, exclusively on kcchiefs.com.
All right, welcome back. You're in the Red Zone here at kcchiefs.com. Soren Petro with you on a Wednesday. That is when we are live. My thanks to Thomas Jones. I love talking to Thomas Jones. You can see why this organization moved quickly to get him. Great young man, very serious about football, very serious about working at his craft, which the Chiefs are very big on, clearly. I think Thomas Jones is going to be a great fit. And we're going to see an outstanding year out of Thomas Jones. We're going to see an incredible year out of Jamal Charles. Chiefs running game should be nails. And when that running game took off in the second half, the offense took off. Good news for Chiefs fans. I think we got a chance for a big, big step forward for the Kansas City Chiefs organization in this 2010 season. That's going to do it for us. Coming up next week, planning on talking to Ryan Lilja, another one of the off-season additions for this football team, and a local guy, Shawnee Mission Northwest, proudly wearing the red and gold now for the Kansas City Chiefs. So we'll try to talk to Ryan Lilja next week. Also remember, a week from tomorrow, Chiefs Draft Day Party. 4 o'clock, the event will open the doors. We'll get things started at 4:30. Mitch Holthus will be your host. Does a great job taking you through the draft. You want to be there amongst the Chiefs fans, Chiefs cheerleaders, Casey Wolf, former players, current players. They're going to be there. It is all at the draft day party going on at the Arrowhead practice facility. Get there at 4. Tickets cheaper if you buy in advance. $15 for GA tickets, $18 at the door. You can get the VIP red zone seating for $85, $25 for the reserve seating. Kids 12 and under are $10. Under 2, they are free. If you buy in advance, you save $3. Just call 800-745-3000. Go to any Ticketmaster outlet or the Arrowhead Stadium box office, or just search the site right here at kcchiefs.com and get your tickets for the Chiefs Arrowhead Draft Day Party. It's coming up a week from Thursday. So for Curtis Siebel, Brad Young, Adam Pellegrino, Soren Petro saying thank you very much for joining us here in the Red Zone.
You've been listening to The Red Zone with Soren Petro. Join us again next week for more discussion of your Kansas City Chiefs. This has been an exclusive presentation of KCChiefs.com.